sports, politics, life. 360 Document Solutions presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at 360documentsolutions.com.
Well, we've all seen a few things bungled in our lives. A lot of times we see it in sports. We see coaches make mistakes, mismanage games at the end. We see players make physical mistakes during a game and feel like, oh, they bungled that and it got away from them. But rarely have we seen anything bungled that is quite the spectacle of the January 6th hearing committee's select subcommittee of hearings about January 6th. And they capped it off apparently with their final get together this week, which nobody was paying attention to. Remember, they put these things in the middle of the summer on prime time because they thought, well, first of all, they had no programming and they thought, well, Americans would really like this and watch this and be into this, which they're not. The country really does not care about Donald Trump right now. I mean, the bottom line is there's so much going on, so much bad news, so much economic pain, and Americans are dealing with so many other issues. They don't give two flips about Donald Trump right now. They may or may not care about him if he decides to run at some point next year and announces that and a campaign starts. Then it becomes different. But right now, nobody honestly really cares about Donald Trump. They've done the Mar-a-Lago raid. They've done the January 6th hearings. They're trying to keep him negatively in the news. For what reason? Of course, it's all just about politics, keeping him from running or beating him if he does run. And so they've continued these January 6th things, which I've really avoided on this podcast. But I can't avoid it now because it just, at the end, is completely bungled. I mean, completely. There were no cross-examinations of any witnesses. There was nobody from any other side. It was all completely one-sided. And now they have called for Donald Trump. We may subpoena Donald Trump and put him here in front of us, and he'll have to testify about this. Some people close to Trump say he would be thrilled to go do that, to light them up about all the election fraud, about Pelosi not, you know, he called Pelosi and said, I want to provide the National Guard for you around the Capitol. We're going to have a demonstration. A lot of people are coming. A lot of people are unhappy. Let's get the National Guard there. She turned it down. And now, in the all-time bungling of an event, how in the world did they release this private film that Nancy Pelosi was having her daughter take that day, a documentary? Pelosi hired her daughter to come in with a crew and film Pelosi all day. And as Trump is speaking, before all this happened, as Trump is speaking, Pelosi is on film. And she's getting all worked up and she's shaking. And you can see this online. It's incredible to see. She's talking about Trump and she's getting all excited because he's giving this speech and it's really rattling her. I hope he comes here, meaning to the Capitol, she says. I'm going to punch him out. I've been waiting for this, for trespassing on the Capitol grounds. I'm going to punch him out. I'm going to go to jail and I'm going to be happy. She later says, if he comes here, we're going to the White House. What? So Trump is the instigator of all this. He's a criminal. And here's Pelosi on her own film, which I'm guessing didn't need to be released in any way, shape, or form, is threatening violence against the president of the United States. I'm going to punch out the president of the United States. That's what she says. She on film as the Speaker of the House is threatening violence against the president of the United States. This is absolutely remarkable. I mean, stunning and remarkable that they're so stupid and they bungled this so badly they're releasing it. What purpose does this serve? If this is about ginning up your base before an election, getting Democrats excited, oh my God, we love Pelosi and we love all the Pelosi Democrats, we want to go vote for them, then I guess that's all this is. This doesn't serve their purpose at all for going after Trump. If they're trying to make Trump look like the bad guy, who now looks worse than Nancy Pelosi? She looks worse than him. She declined security, which she's responsible for as the Speaker of the House. She declined the National Guard security. And then, while Trump is giving his speech, she's threatening violence against him on film, and they release this. What on earth? These people are so incompetent. Maybe I'm misreading this. Does this make her look better than Trump somehow? I don't understand. How could you bungle this thing at the end with this stunning video of the Speaker of the House threatening violence against the President of the United States while you're attempting to prosecute the President of the United States for inciting violence? Which, by the way, wasn't particularly against Nancy Pelosi. I don't think Donald Trump ever stated any words that he wanted to punch out Nancy Pelosi. This is the woman, when he gave the State of the Union, tore up the script at the end. You remember that when she just tore it up right there in the Capitol when he gave the State of the Union address? This is an evil, vile, despicable woman. Forget her politics. This is not a good person. This is an evil, bad person that all they do in that party is sow division. That's all they want. They want to divide everybody. They want to pit one side against the other. They want conflict. They want hate. They want racism. They want bigotry. They want America to be in conflict. They do not want us united. They do not want, they want one world, but they do not want one country. They're not interested in that. They want to pit us against each other and have us fighting all out. And we're seeing this happening in places. And clearly this was all staged by Pelosi and she provoked it. She had a film crew. I hope he comes, she says. If he comes here, we're going to go to the White House. This is so petty. This is so junior high, for crying out loud. Can you imagine anything pettier and stupider than this? And it all, they're just putting all their dirty laundry out there for everyone to see how petty and stupid they are in Washington. They have no idea how dumb we think they all look. And that includes Trump and the Republicans. They have no idea how little we think of them. There is no royalty in this country. Americans don't believe in a ruling class. We don't think these people are special. They're not. They're not particularly good at what they do. We see that on a daily basis. They may be rich. They may be powerful. But the American public, the American electorate, we don't think any of these people are special. There are too many people that went and voted for Joe Biden thinking he was special. That this, oh, this is our special leader. This is the guy we need to have in charge. We don't see that very often. You may feel good about who you voted for. You may like the policy, but I've run into about a million people at this point that said, I love what Donald Trump did for the country, but I don't really like him. They don't know what we think of him. They have no clue how little regard we have for them personally. And Nancy Pelosi fits right into that. This is, if this was your next door neighbor, you would not, it would be uncomfortable living in your house if she was your next door neighbor. You would not like it. It would be a miserable experience. Unless you just could stay away from her all the time or she was out of town all the time. But if you live next to her in Washington and you were around her a lot and saw her at the mailbox or walking her dog or whatever, you would. She's miserable. This woman has everything and she is absolutely, completely and totally miserable in her life. And she thrives on misery. Can you imagine being married to her? Maybe her husband's the same way and she's got the same issue. Being married to him might be miserable. And there's a lot of miserable people out there. I'm not picking on Pelosi in particular, but the person in power that just walks around every day looking for the wrong, looking for the bad, thriving off of it and pitting Americans against each other. And this is what she's done. She's threatened violence on film against the president. It's shown at a hearing where they believe Donald Trump was instigating violence against the Capitol and they want to prosecute him for it. Can we prosecute her for threatening the president? Is this doable? Let's do it. Let's prosecute her once we get the House and the Senate. Let's prosecute Pelosi. She's going to retire. She's not going to be around. She's not going to stick around for this. She's going to be out. She's going to win her election. And then in January, she's going to appoint somebody else. You watch, or early next year, she'll appoint somebody else. She's going to walk away from this. Let's prosecute her. Let's have a subcommittee on Nancy Pelosi threatening the president of the United States. Better yet, let's get the White House in 24. Let's weaponize the DOJ and let's just go arrest her. Let's raid her home and arrest her for threatening the president of the United States. Because they do arrest you for that in this country. You threaten harm to the president, they will come after you. You want to go online and start posting a bunch of stuff that you're going to do something to the president? Watch what happens at your front door. Pelosi, what on earth were they thinking? I mean, they just bungled this. If they had any juice at all to these hearings, they've botched it. But they botch everything. They're really good at blowing things. That's really what they are. They're good at botching things. I love it when Tucker Carlson says, you know what Democrats do? They destroy. They don't build anything. All they do is destroy. And that's exactly right. They don't create or build anything. They just destroy things. They destroy institutions that work in favor of things that don't, that just in a vacuum come replace them because they don't really come up with solutions or build things themselves. He's right. They're destructive. They're a destructive party. And that's all this hearing and stuff is. They're trying to destroy something. They're trying to destroy Trump. It's destruction. They're good at blowing things up. They like war. They're great. Let's go support the Ukrainians and let's kill some Russians. We like being destructive. It's what they do. No matter what their intentions are when they get there, if they're in that party, it's what they become. AOC learned that this week. A man in New York, in her district, where she's speaking in public, stands up and just lets AOC have it. I mean, this dude was on his game. He voted for her. He is a Democrat. He is screaming at her, saying, "You've become exactly who you campaigned against. You are the exact politician you said you were never going to be." He starts speaking about how she's divisive and how her party is leading us to nuclear war. And you're on board with it. What have you become, AOC? He's hollering at her. He said, "We don't know this party anymore. We don't know you. We don't know this party. Why are you leading us down a path of nuclear war?" It's the least discussed thing in America. Make no mistake about it. We push Russia far enough, they're going to launch one. It may be a small one, if there is such a thing, but it's going to happen. The Democrats are pushing the world toward nuclear war when they should be at the table right now. The United States' role between Ukraine and Russia should be to sit down and hammer out a deal. A ceasefire immediately. Let's negotiate. Let's have a 3-week ceasefire and let's negotiate a peace treaty. That's what should be happening. No. We're just passing more funding. Now $70 billion. We have put more support to Ukraine than Russia's entire annual budget for its military. We have already spent more in this war, in the months that it's been going on, in support of Ukraine than Russia spends in a year for its entire military budget. It's remarkable what we're doing. And this man is right. And he's letting AOC have it. "I don't know my own party anymore. What are you people doing? You want nuclear war?" Now, this man lives in New York, and he's got a pretty good assumption. The first one's headed for New York, right? It's going right up over the top. Maybe the West Coast, maybe Seattle, maybe Alaska, certainly closer to Russia. But this is how people in New York think. They do not feel safe. And it's not just the crime on their streets. They believe New York is a target. That if we are headed to some global conflict, New York is the most dangerous place in this country to live. Clearly, the city's the most dangerous places to live. They're not gonna drop some missiles in the middle of Yellowstone Park where there's no people. There's just a bunch of animals and fish. All right, they're gonna go for major cities. And people who live in these cities know this. And it's scary as hell. And he let AOC have it. The party of destruction. That's what they are. And we learned that through a film that Nancy Pelosi's daughter shot with her documentary crew, and why they released this is beyond me. I mean, did they think this makes Pelosi look good? The Speaker of the House threatening violence against the president? The entire process of this hearing is that Trump was inciting violence and threatening violence, and this is a crime, and we're going to lock him up for this. What the heck is Pelosi on film? That's way worse than anything Trump said that day. Trump even used the term peaceful, right? Let's peacefully gather. If you're going to walk down, just peacefully. I'm pretty sure he said it in the speech. Not Pelosi. She wanted to punch him out. "I'm going to hit him. I'm going to hurt him. And if he comes in here, I'm going to the White House." My God. You want to talk about unhinged? Woo. That woman. But we can't leave it at that. We cannot allow them to decide what we are as a country. We cannot allow them to be, because we are not out here, out of their bubble. We are not the people they think we are. We certainly are not the people they say we are. But a lot of them actually think we are. They think, they say, that we're terrible, that we're racist, that we're divided, that we're all these things. They're just dying to keep us divided over race. And so I point to Tampa Bay Bucks coach Todd Bowles for the quote of the week here this week. He's a man's man. He's a hell of a defensive coach. They've got a good football team. The Chiefs beat them, but they turned around last week and lit up. And it's a good football team. Okay, Todd Bowles is a good coach. I don't know if he's a great coach. We'll see in time, but he's a good coach. He's certainly one of the best defensive coaches anywhere, but he's the head coach of the Bucks. And he talks about facing Mike Tomlin the Steelers coach, who is also black. And Todd Bowles, this is a really powerful thing for someone like Nancy Pelosi or AOC to hear. Okay, this is us out here. This is real. This is a football coach in Florida and facing a football coach in Pennsylvania. And he's asked about this, Todd Bowles is, and his response about two black coaches in one game is, "We coach ball, man. We don't look at color. The minute you guys stop making a big deal about this, everybody else will as well." End quote. Thank you. Mic drop. That's America. That's the America I know. That's the America. That's a quote that makes sense to millions and millions and millions of Americans. If only this would get the run of some of the other things that are out there. Like, I wish somebody would make a giant deal of this. Todd Bowles says we're in post-racist America. We're past it. We're past it in the United States. He's basically saying, my experience as a black man and head coach in the NFL is there is no racism here. There's no racism in the NFL. I don't see it. Mike Tomlin was hired, what, 20 years ago at Pittsburgh? There's nothing new about black coaches. This is not a thing. They've won Super Bowls. They've been great. They're in the Hall of Fame. It's a non-story that they just try to keep pushing some sort of narrative. And Todd Bowles, when asked about two black coaches in one game, says, "We just coach ball, man. We don't look at color. The minute you guys," meaning the media, "stop making a big deal of it, everybody else will as well." That is a plea to the media to shut up about race. Stop dividing us. Stop bringing it up. We don't look at it. There's no racism here. I'm the coach of the Bucks. He's the coach of the Steelers. I don't see a black man over there. I see a ball coach. This is so right. It is so spot on, and God bless Todd Bowles for saying it that way. There is more and more of this. Now, it's really changed the last few years how many people of color have come out and said, "I'm conservative," or "there isn't racism, and I've not felt it." Not enough. I think there are millions and millions more who believe that but are afraid to say it, afraid to verbalize it or express it maybe in their community, but they feel it. They believe it. They know it's true. But we're getting, it's baby steps. We're just getting better every day at this. There's just, at this point, there's just so many examples. I mean, so many examples of people of color, or whatever the term is we're going to use, that say, "Look, I'm conservative. I don't feel it. I grew up with this as my skin color, and I don't feel like I'm a victim of any race hate or crimes. Nothing's held me back. There's been nothing holding me back." And the more that say it, the more we break this down. And it really is, this could be like the dying breath of the Democrat Party. When they lose this, when they lose the ability to say, "We're better than the other politicians because we identify with people of color who are still oppressed like there's slavery going on." When that, and it will eventually fade. We're such an integrated country and people now that it has to fade. It may take another 50 years for it to just be completely gone. I don't know. But there will be a time when nobody believes there's racism in America. It just won't be believed. There will be a time in my children's lives where if somebody claims racism, people will laugh at that person. And they'll think, "You're extreme. You're wacko. You've lost your mind. And you're some sort of an isolated freak." Because we live here and we know that it just is not the case. And I very much look forward to that day. And I thank Todd Bowles for his outstanding quote this week when asked about coaching against another black head coach. Like, what? Seriously, like, what? They used to ask, "What's it like playing in a game with two black quarterbacks?" They don't ask that anymore. There's the perfect example. Nobody talks about that anymore. "Hey, Mahomes, you're facing Lamar Jackson this week. What do you think? Two black quarterbacks." Huh? They look at you like you got one eyeball or something. What are you, a cyclops? Huh? Two black quarterbacks. It's now, if you bring up black quarterbacks, you're racist for bringing it up. That's how normalized it is. Nobody thinks about a black quarterback or a white quarterback. Nobody thinks about that. It doesn't happen. Or Asian Pacific, you know, Tua or whatever, South Pacific. Nobody cares. Does it matter if your ancestors are from Germany or Italy or England? No, nobody cares. Nobody cares where you're from. You're a ball player. We love sports. Play ball. So that's gone. And I think Todd Bowles is right. I think we're going to get to a point where nobody's going to ask anything about black head coaches. At one point, we had 8 or 9 out of 32. Now, I think right now it's 4 black, but there's two or three other minority coaches. So we're probably about 25% minority head coaches. And they still complain about the NFL. Well, this just in. Eric Bieniemy is not head coach material. And he was offered the head coaching job at Colorado and turned it down. That wasn't, he wanted to stay right where he is as coordinator of the Chiefs, making his money, not being in charge of anything. He turned it down. He turned down head coach at Colorado. That's not a racist country. It would not be, it might be a smart move if he gets offered again to leave the Chiefs if he wants to be a head coach and go be head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes. If he's successful there, maybe the NFL gives him a shot. But he's gone through interviews with half the teams now, and they've all went, yeah, no, I see why. Some guys aren't head coaches. Why do you think Brent Venables at Oklahoma didn't get hired for 25 years? Missouri had, he was a finalist when they hired Gary Pinkel. That was way back. Then they hired subsequent coaches, and he didn't get it. K-State had openings twice where he grew up in Salina, played at K-State, was one of Bill Snyder's favorite players. They never even interviewed him, to my knowledge, for the head coaching position at Kansas State. They knew, no, not Brent Venables, no. They hired Ron Prince over him. Mistake, okay. Then they hired Chris Klieman over him. Home run, much better. You can't compare Chris Klieman and Brent Venables. There's a reason he didn't get hired all those years. And everybody that interviewed him knew it. That exists, whether you're black or white. There are guys that just don't get there. We were all in shock when Gunther Cunningham became a head coach. We all knew. Gunther Cunningham, fine defensive coordinator, not a head coach. Everybody knew this, except Carl Peterson. Everybody on earth knew this. It was the easiest thing to tell. But the Chiefs had a history of that. They also promoted a special teams coach one time, Frank Gans, to be the head coach. There are mistakes that are made, but these teams are getting smarter. They're vetting. They're doing a better job of saying, this person's not head coach material. And it has nothing to do with whether you're black or white. And I just love the fact that Todd Bowles has busted that out. KKHI is brought to you by Advantage Termite and Pest Control, online at AdvantageTPC.com. I get emails from you. What's the name of the pest control company? Remember, all of our sponsors are at TheKKList.com. TheKKList.com. If you're wondering about any sponsor you may have heard and you don't know the number and you don't know how to get a hold of them, there's links right to their website. Go to the one place where they all exist in harmony together with KKHI. It is thekklist.com. If you want to support a great conservative business, go to thekklist.com. If you want to be on the list, you can also do that by clicking join the list and shoot us an email. Advantage Termite and Pest Control I've been with for over 20 years. Today isn't the day, but I've got a great story to tell you about Spencer. He'll have a weekend podcast up this weekend. We appreciate you listening to that as well. But I got a great Spencer story to tell you as it pertains to Advantage Termite and Pest Control. They came and fixed it. They fixed the problem he created. I'll just tell you that. They did. In fact, they diagnosed and found the problem that he created because I hadn't found it. It's a great story, but I've been with Advantage forever. These guys are the real deal, residential or commercial. Switch with your business. You manage a building or different properties or lease somewhere where you're responsible for your own pest control. Switch to Advantage. You're going to love these guys. AdvantageTPC.com or 913-768-8989. Cross Kitchens, online at CrossKitchensKC.com. I got a couple more emails from you this week. Hey, who do I call? It's Tim Cross. A great young guy. I say young guy. He's younger than me. He's not a young man. He's younger. He's a great family man. Raising a family on a micro farm in Belton, Missouri with one of the finest remodeling companies you've ever seen. Quality is job one. They do it in a timely manner. Most kitchen remodels take 2 weeks or less. They're also doing a slew of projects now of people who built new houses but never finished their basement. He'll finish it for you guys. Get that bar or man cave you always wanted. He can do it. Use the equity in your home and pay for it just like that and increase the value of your home. If you put money into your home, you're not really spending it. It creates value. Your home goes up in value. CrossKitchensKC.com. And, of course, Gary Joslin and his team at Joslin's Jewelry. Dave and Cameron are there every day. Gary's in there a few days a week as well. Family owned and operated forever since their inception in the 70s. Joslin's is the jewelry you recommend to your friends and family. We hope this holiday season, as we get closer and closer, or maybe you have an anniversary coming up like me, I kind of need to visit Joslin's. I'm not going to lie. If it's time for anything like that, Joslin's is the go-to place. These are great folks. They're non-commissioned, and you're just going to love the way it feels in there. It's really old school and old-fashioned. If you like that, if you want a throwback, if you want to feel good, it's not corporate. It's not shiny like the mall. It's just great. Honest people, great jewelry at great prices. Joslin's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. All right, on to sports. And the Chiefs, the game of the year in the NFL. In a little bit, Lee Sterling will join us. We'll have all the picks for you. I'm not going to, you know, get into a bunch of picks this week. We'll do that with Lee. But here's what I'll say about the Chiefs game. They're expecting Harrison Butker back. Cornerback Trent McDuffie is back off the IR. And guard Trey Smith is back. Chiefs are getting healthier. They're a little healthier than the Bills going into this game. That's good. The problem is, I don't think the Chiefs are as good as the Bills. And most people agree with that. Last year, the Bills came to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs. Then in a playoff game, they marched downfield to win with 13 seconds left, and they did. They won. They won the game. The Bills were the better team. Now, it was a wild night. The last 2 minutes of regulation in that playoff game, 25 points were scored. It was the greatest football game anybody ever saw. 13 seconds left, Mahomes marches them downfield, Chiefs win the game. Amazing. Absolutely amazing what he was able to do. They go win it, and they get into overtime, and they win it. It was phenomenal what the Chiefs did. Ridiculous is what the Chiefs did. I don't see it. I see, and I think the Chiefs, we've seen this over the last few years, this is the time of year where they get a little sloggy. We saw it in the Colts game. They got away with it against the Raiders. The Chiefs aren't their best this time of year. They're not. They've had a couple seasons early on with Andy where they were money out of the gate. I think they had 1 year where they went 9-0 with Alex Smith and then faded. But they've kind of been a build-up team as the season goes. As they've gotten better, as they become more of a proven commodity and maybe the best franchise in the NFL, because the Bills are built for now. The Chiefs are younger than the Bills. The Chiefs have gotten younger. Right? They made a big deal this year. The Chiefs went out and got younger. So Kansas City is now younger than Buffalo. I won't say the Chiefs are behind the Bills, but you can make an argument that the Chiefs are a year away or maybe 2 years away from being what the Bills are now. Now, that's great when you already won a Super Bowl and Mahomes has been what he's been and you've had four straight AFC title games at home. The Chiefs clearly are more accomplished. But as they've gotten younger, it's created an opportunity for the Bills to be considered the better football team. I like the Bills this week, unfortunately. I'm going to go 34-24. I think the Bills win by 10. And I think the Chiefs are not exposed because I think the Chiefs will get better. I just think there's newness to Kansas City in the offense and newness to the defense, what they're trying to do there, that we're not going to, that shouldn't be in October as good as it will be in December or January. So I'm hopeful that if they meet in January, the Chiefs are the Bills equal. Now, that's not to say I don't think the Chiefs can win. They can. We talked about this on a Patreon podcast with Danny Klingscale yesterday. We do Between the Lines 2.0 every week, and we talked a great deal about this. I believe with 90% certainty that if the Chiefs win on Sunday, and they can, I give them about a 35-40% chance of winning. That's me. If they win, I think when we look at the box score, we will see that they sacked Josh Allen three times or more, and they took the ball away twice. So I think we talk too much about turnovers. We obviously know what takeaways do for your team. The Chiefs played a clean game Monday night. Nobody turned it over because they overturned the Chris Jones strip sack. There were no turnovers in the game, and that led to a very, very close game against an inferior opponent. So I'm just applying that to the Bills. If this is a clean game, there's no turnovers, or turnovers are 1-1 even, I think the Chiefs are in trouble. I think if the Chiefs win the game, we will look at the box score right after the game, and what we will see is the Chiefs sacked the quarterback, which is rare. Josh Allen doesn't get sacked a lot, that they will have sacked the quarterback and taken the ball away twice. I think that's the formula. I think we're looking at the wrong side of the ball. We're sitting here talking about the quarterbacks in a shootout. Buffalo has the number one defense in the NFL, number one scoring defense. They blitz less than any team in the league. We know what Mahomes does against the blitz. So they don't have to blitz to get a great pass rush. They just have a great pass rush without it. It's a target game for the Bills, everybody says. Well, it's a target game for the Chiefs, too. The question I have is, were the Chiefs lollygagging Monday night because they were looking past it to the Bills? Has this been circled on their calendar? Does Andy Reid, without anybody else knowing, hold things back for this game. Well, do you think it's completely random that Butker and McDuffie and Smith are back this week? I don't. I think he held them out as long as he needed to make sure they're ready to go in this football game. Are there new wrinkles, new plays to the offense that they haven't shown that will come out in this game? This game's vitally important. If you want to be the one seed, you got to win this game. Whoever wins this game is the odds-on favorite to the one seed. No guarantee, because injuries can happen and the season is long. But you're the odds-on favorite to the one seed in the AFC if you win this game. So as Andy Reid approached it that way, everybody's talking about the Bills have circled this one. This is their target game. Well, maybe it's the Chiefs' target game too. Maybe that's why they looked weird against the Colts. Maybe that's why they came out flat against the Raiders. I can't really say. I don't know, but I think it's possible the Chiefs have kind of circled this one as well. Great story in the NFL on Thursday night. Washington Commanders running back Brian Robinson Jr. was robbed August 28th and shot twice. He's been recovering since August 28th, and he got on the field last night. He got on the field and rushed for 60 yards and the game-winning touchdown. Washington won 12-7 in the worst football game anybody ever watched. If you could watch the whole thing, good for you. It was impossible to watch the whole thing. We applaud Brian Robinson Jr. for recovering the robbery attempt and the two shots he took. He got shot twice. This guy got shot twice, August 28th. And before the end of October, he's out on the field playing for Washington. Good for him, Brian Robinson Jr. Remember the name and remember that story. One other NFL note before we talk just a little bit of college, and that is the Dolphins and their ping pong table story with Tyreek Hill is now changing. It was reported that Tyreek Hill went to the coach and said, we need a better attitude around here. We need more focus. We got to get rid of the ping pong table. The coach even commented, hey, that's great. We love leaders. We love doers. Saying things is one thing. Doing things is quite another. Tyreek Hill's a leader. I made fun of that yesterday because I think it's funny. I think if Tyreek Hill is your leader, you're in trouble. I'll stand by that. If Tyreek Hill is your captain of captains, your team is doomed. You are doomed. Nothing good. Great player. Would be best if he just sat at his locker and kept his mouth shut and didn't try to lead anybody because he's not a leader and he's not a natural leader. Now Tyreek Hill is clarifying that the ping pong table was bent. And I'm guessing he got a lot of feedback from his teammates that was really bad because now Tyreek Hill says he has ordered a custom ping pong table with the Dolphins logo on it that's going to be arriving at some point, and they'll install that. So this didn't take long for the players to go to Tyreek Hill and go, what the F are you doing, man? Getting rid of our ping pong table? Didn't go over well with his teammates. So he's now said, oh, I'm getting a brand new custom one made with a Dolphins logo. We'll get that one in here. We'll still have our ping pong tournament. They're having a tournament, like a March Madness thing, a bracket challenge, a ping pong tournament for the Dolphins. So he backtracked in a hurry on being a leader, saying the ping pong table was a distraction, and now says he's going to get them a brand new one. Only Tyreek Hill. Seriously, only Tyreek Hill. Hey, don't forget, business or leisure, if you're traveling to the Manhattan area, Junction City, Salina, Fort Riley, great place to stay is the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan, and you're going to enjoy Goolsby's restaurant and indoor fun center. It's not a kid's place. It's not Dave and Buster's. Okay, Goolsby's is really cool. They have duck pin bowling. They're mostly things you do while you're drinking a beer. They have golf simulators, home run derby simulators, things like that. Kids can play those things, and if you stay at the hotel with your family, the kids can do that. But don't think of this as Dave. It's not a kid's destination. You're not going to walk in there, and it's 5,000 teenagers running around playing games. No, it's a cool place to relax, unwind, get a meal or an appetizer, pour your own drink off the wall. They got 30 taps there. The Bluemont Hotel. Online, BluemontHotel.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs, home of the lifetime warranty, absolutely included in every new GM at Roberts Robinson. Online at robertsrobinson.com. North Kansas City Dental, Dr. Bill Bush is your new dentist. Indeed, he's your new dentist. Go see Dr. Bush. I was speaking with a guy yesterday, and he said, yeah, my wife needs to go to the dentist, but it was just a random little story, and I said, personally, this person doesn't like to go to the dentist. Go see Dr. Bush. It'll change the way you think of dentists. Online at nkcdental.com, 816-471-2911. Offices in Kansas and Missouri. You may run into Patrick Mahomes while you're there. It's possible. Absolutely possible. College football, the Big 12 had some meetings this week, and they have worked out a 14-team schedule for 2023 and 2024. They have not released it, but they're working it out to where over the course of 2 years, everyone in the league will play all 13 other opponents. In doing so, there will not be divisions. It's not going to be particularly balanced. There is also unconfirmed reports that as part of, I haven't done the math on the scheduling, as part of this for 2 years, you will play your rival twice in each season. For example, if this schedule comes out the way some people think it's going to, Kansas and Kansas State would play each other home and home each of those 2 years. In 23 and 24, K-State and KU would play in Lawrence, K-State and KU would play in Manhattan. In each season, they'd play each other twice that year. The funniest part of this is, from what I've seen, what's being leaked, what's possible, they are not pairing up OU and Texas to play twice. They may actually only play each other once over the 2 years. They're going to ship Texas off to play Texas Tech twice, and Oklahoma will play Oklahoma State twice. Like I said this before, get them out of here. Oklahoma doesn't have the money. Texas does. Oklahoma doesn't have the money to get out now. The faster they're gone, the better. There's very clear language in the charter that says you cannot harm, or if you do something in a harmful way or negligent way that damages the conference or damages the conference financially, you are subject to punishment. I think these last 2 years, they ought to get together and say, look, we're taking a vote. Neither of you can play for Big 12 championships. Neither of you are coming to the Big 12 tournament. We'll allow you to play your regular season games, but we're in charge now and you're leaving. And sorry, you can't be champion in any sport. That's what I'd do to them. I'd make them ineligible. I would take a vote of the presidents and I would make them ineligible to compete for championships in the Big 12. That's what I would do with Oklahoma and Texas, because they're just lingering. They won't go away. They just won't go away. All right, Lee Sterling is up. Let's do it, man. We're going to talk with Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. He has this week his biggest college play and biggest pro play, NFL play of the season. So you're going to want to listen up. Lee Sterling with the picks. Hit it!
The KK Has Issues conversation is presented by Buck Roofing, online at rbuckroofing.com. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head.
Our good buddy Lee Sterling joins us now, and he's been on quite a roll, 37-19 over the last several weeks at ParamountSports.com. And we're going to select a bunch of games that are important to us here in our area. Remember, they may or may not be part of Lee Sterling's service. If you want to get his service and the games that he really likes, he has some very special plays this week. If you want to log on to ParamountSports.com and get signed up, you can get the rest of October, Locktober, for $247, including a couple of big plays in college and pro this weekend. He's feeling good, and he's right here. Hello, Lee. How are you?
I'm good. I'm real good. And it's fun when you're winning with 37-19 the last 5 weeks. So I want that to continue. And I have not released a 45 or 50-unit play this year. So far, just a 40-unit selection has been my biggest play. I found a 45-unit play in college for Saturday, and also found one in the NFL for Sunday. Can't remember the last time we had two in one weekend, especially a 45 to 50 unit. We've had some like a 40 and a 45. So anyone wants to get involved, we're 51-18 on these 45 to 50 unit plays going back the last decade. Just 247. It's on the Locktober special. First option available, ParamountSports.com. When you get to the website, ParamountSports.com, purchase picks page, click there, top of the page, first option, Locktober special, 247, use coupon code SAVE100, and you're going to get every game through October 31st. We're also going to throw in the baseball playoffs, where we're 5-1 to start that, and the UFC card for Saturday, just my way of saying thanks, and let's get some winners. And I know if I win for you, you're going to want to stay with me through the Super Bowl.
All right, so your biggest plays of the year so far in college and pro this weekend, your most, the ones that you feel best about for the entire season are coming up this weekend.
Yep.
All right. I love it. I'm on them. All right, I just let you know, I've done that. I've said this many times to all the listeners. If Lee is on it big, I'm on it, because it just hits most times. It's not 100%. Nothing in this thing is 100%. But your record on your bigger plays over the 20 or so years that we've been doing this is phenomenal. And they're almost always college games that I would never even look at or know about. And then they hit. And of course, I'll watch. I know which game it is. I'm going to play it. I'm going to watch it. And I'm going to win it. Does that sound like a plan?
Sounds like a plan to me.
Sounds like a plan to me. Hey, all right, before we get to the selections, do you have any thoughts? Because you're just, like, you're as big a football expert as I've ever met. I mean, I know you played and coached and knows coaches, and you've been in this industry for so long. What should the NFL do about this roughing the passer thing? I know they want to protect quarterbacks. I know they wrote rules. My answer is quite simply, if they just in the offseason decide anything at any time is reviewable in the NFL, they can fix a lot of these problems. What is your solution to what we saw?
Look at Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, right.
Teddy Bridgewater goes down. There was someone, who knows, the guy paid probably a spotter, $150, $200. He thinks that he's staggered. I looked at the film like 5 or 6 times. I'm like, nothing. And they put him in concussion protocol.
And that was the same day that
we're talking about. This is the start of the second series of the game. The first play of the second series never played another down. And they didn't consult the three doctors.
Well, they're saying he's not going to play this week. He passed every concussion protocol they did with Bridgewater. He passed. They said he had no symptoms, showed no signs. They're still not going to play him this week?
I'm for player safety, and I think there's different levels of concussions. Hey, I went and called a play one time after getting a concussion. So this was in high school that hadn't existed for at least 5 years before that. And it was in like Pee Wee football. Called a different play. They called timeout. I went out for a play, gathered myself, came back in, had a good game, and had no lasting, problems down the road. So, I think there's some bad concussions, and I just got my bell rung and was fine after that. So I'm all for erring on the side of caution, but I think they've just overdone it.
The Chris Jones thing was ridiculous because there was actually a fumble on that play and both players were fighting for the ball. And that's just absurd. If you reviewed that and could say, okay, the ball's loose, there's no penalty on this play. Yep. He knocked the ball loose as he was doing it. You can land on anybody any way you want when the ball is loose. We've seen that a million times. But I want to go back to Tua getting hurt. He got hurt on a sling. They basically slung him. And he's a smaller guy. Mm-hmm. They slung him. He hit his head. It was bad. It was terrible. So then a week later, they sling Tom Brady, who doesn't get hurt on the play. And people are like, oh, that's that shouldn't be a penalty. And they didn't call anything. Right. Or they did call it. And people were outraged that they called it. And it fundamentally changed the game. Then Monday night, Patrick Mahomes got slung the exact same way Tua and Brady did. And there was no call. We saw 3 slings in 8 days. Well, the other one was maybe a Thursday night game. We saw three slings in 2 weeks with entirely different outcomes on all 3 plays.
Yeah, I think your suggestion is the best one. Let's go. Let's review these things. So
yeah, I'm all for it. It's
not going to be foolproof.
No,
it's just going to be a lot better though.
No, but I put it in the coach's hands, and I think people are worried about the game being too long. Look, I'd give each coach 4. I'd give him 4 stoppages each half. Okay. You can use 2 of them any way you want for full timeouts or reviews. And the other 2, why do we have these long timeouts? Even 30s, why do we do it? So let's just change
commercials.
I know, but if they're worried about that, let's just take the 2 of them, 2 of the timeouts that you get, and we'll just call them clock stoppages. The play clock keeps running.
Okay.
Like at the end of the game is where they like to use them. You're out on the field. You're going up and down the field. You can call one of your clock stoppages, and now you reset the play clock. You got a full amount of time to get a play in, but we're not taking a timeout. We're going to keep the flow of the game going at the end. I don't know why they don't incorporate some of these as just clock stoppages. Nothing else.
Okay. I'm going to send you to the league off. I think you figured it out.
Well, I mean, seriously, when these games are going at the end, we want continuity at the end. If somebody's driving, I don't want to see 3 timeouts in that drive.
Oh my God. It's like watching the end of an NBA game.
Right. And we can give them extra timeouts any way you want. This wouldn't make the game any longer. I've thought it through, man. And look, the easy answer, and I've been saying this for years, everything's reviewable and it's all on the coach. None of this booth review crap. Okay. It's on the coach. These coaches make $10 million.
Do you know how long it takes to watch a game?
Huh?
Do you know how long it takes to watch a game going on YouTube and watching every single play to cut out all the huddles?
It's like 18 minutes or something, isn't it?
Yeah. 18 to 22 minutes, depending on the game.
But I like the other stuff. I love replays. I like it all.
Oh, I love it too. Yeah. I love it too. But this shows you how much fluff there is.
Yeah, no
extra
doubt.
Time.
All right, let's do some picks. Again, ParamountSports.com is the site. It's Locktober, 247 for everything, including baseball. We'll talk more about that in a couple of moments, but it's all right there for you at ParamountSports.com. These are games that we've selected for this audience. They may or may not be part of Lee's service. So here we go. Texas was incredible last week against Oklahoma. They are a massive favorite over Iowa State. What do you think of the Longhorns?
Here's the problem with Iowa State. Their defense has played well. Their offense is averaging only 4.8 yards per snap, and exactly the same as their defense. It's just not good enough. Unless they get some breaks, and Quinn Ewers, we're finding out, is pretty darn good here. Some people say, oh, Texas in a sandwich are playing. They got such a big game next week. You know, that game could determine, you know, whether they end up winning the Big 12 title in their game, you know, against Oklahoma State. But I'm not buying it. Team on a roll. They're going to keep going here. They just have so many weapons here. I like Texas big, 35-13.
All right, Kansas is at Oklahoma. KU almost beat Oklahoma last year when they were good. I mean, Oklahoma, Lee, they just can't – it's not that they aren't winning in this league. They're not competitive. I mean, they have not had a lead in the Big 12. They have not had a lead. They've not had a lead. They've played three games. They've been behind in all of them. 49-0 last week. They're now a 9-point favorite over Kansas. Two questions here. Who do you like? And secondarily, do you think that line will go to 10 – and how much of a difference does that make if it gets to 10 and you get KU plus 10?
If it gets to 10, I haven't bet the game. You know, 9's not a bit, a number that games fall on a lot. But I like Jason Bean a lot, the backup quarterback. Yeah. You know, people talk about a dual-threat quarterback with Jalen Daniels, and he's probably not going to play in this game. But Bean last year, he ran for almost 500 yards. Daniels last year only ran for 143. He's actually more mobile. So I think he's one of the best backups. I thought he was going to leave. I think it's a huge advantage for them getting to keep a backup quarterback like him. I think it was a smart move for him to stay, at least this year. Oklahoma's in disarray. They got so many problems on defense here. In fact, on offense, I mean, at one point they used three different guys, in the Wildcat. I mean, it just tells you how desperate they were here. I think Kansas pulls it off here. Wrong team favorite, 31-28.
I'm 100% with you. Oklahoma simply isn't competitive, and they got to be pointing fingers. TCU is undefeated in the Big 12 against Oklahoma State, which Vegas says, anyway, is the front runner to win the league. But this thing's going to get wild. It looks like there's a lot of teams in play. TCU and Oklahoma State, what do you think?
So I've been playing TCU a bunch. I just realized, I mean, early on, this is an explosive offense. Max Duggan has picked it up, 14 touchdowns, one interception. But Spencer Sanders isn't far behind, 12 touchdowns, two interceptions. In fact, both teams average the exact same number of points on offense. So I was saying that I'm watching, like, God, they're a little bit different, but both offenses are about the same, scored the exact same number. I think Oklahoma State's defense touch better. And if it comes down to special teams, that's what happens in a lot of close games. I think Oklahoma State has a big advantage here. TCU's already missed a field goal. Just 3-for-4 on the year. They already missed two extra points. Whereas Oklahoma State, their kicker, Tanner Brown, 8-for-8 on field goals, 26-for-26 on extra points. And then Jaden Nixon, the kickoff returner, already one touchdown return on a kickoff. Another one all the way down to the 1 yard line here. And TCU, they just don't have that big of a home field advantage. Just 19-27-3 the last 10 years as a home favorite. Let's call for the small upset. Oklahoma State, 37-34.
On to the NFL. The Los Angeles Chargers playing the Denver Broncos, who are in a bad way right now. But this is a big number. The Chargers don't seem to kill a lot of people. It's a division game. Chargers and Broncos, what say you?
They haven't, you know, Kevin, but every year is different. And for the first time ever, I think they finally figured it out. What is the key? Get the ball to Austin Eckler, running the football and out of the backfield. And when he gets the ball, he is really good. He's durable, looks like for the first time, not getting dinged up. When he's not dinged up, he is really dangerous. Mike Williams is coming on here. They had found in the draft a left tackle to protect the blind side of Justin Herbert. Rashawn Slater, as you know, went out. This kid, Saylor, doing a great job. So, I mean, this team's playing at a high level. You don't have to have all your players. They have so much talent on that team to play well. And Denver, you know, we've talked about it. I mean, they've only scored 6 touchdowns. That's it. I mean, they're 2-3, but it seems like they are much worse. Seattle, with Geno Smith, has 10 touchdowns here. I mean, their decision-making, their play calling awful. Javonte Williams, who I love as a running back, done for the year. ACL injury. Left tackle, Garrett Bowles, done for the year. L.A. Superchargers, 27-20 over Denver.
All right. Again, a reminder. It may or may not be part of any of his plays on his service, but we always get the Chiefs call from Lee Sterling. Buffalo's at Kansas City, and the Bills are favored by 2.5.
So, I mean, everyone's waiting for this game. And this game is the game that everyone wants to see this year, me including. When that game ended last year, didn't have anything on either game. I'm just saying, like, wow, I want to see more. Now, as good as the game was, Buffalo won the first game of the season in Kansas City by double digits. Are they going to, I think, run away with a game like that? Maybe not. But I think their front seven, much, much better than last year. I think also Kansas City's defensive backs, they're going to have a tough time guarding the Buffalo receivers. Buffalo has three guys that are almost unguardable, man, oh, man. And we saw what Adams did to him on Monday night. So I just think Kansas City's up against it. Their kicker, also Buckner, he may not play in the game. If he doesn't play in the game, they might have to go for it more on fourth down. Even if he plays, he's probably only 85, 90%. And I just think they mishandled some on offense here. So I think Buffalo, this is their circle game, the game that obviously these players wanted all offseason. As long as they don't turn the ball over two or three times, I think Buffalo's the right side here. I think they win and cover 37-27.
All right, Lee Sterling's offering a free play to anybody that wants it between the Eagles and the Cowboys. The Eagles are 5.5-point favorite in that game. If you call Lee personally at 800-400-9741, he'll give you the free play this week of Philadelphia and Dallas. You've spotted something there you like.
Yeah, and another just great game. There are great games all over the schedule this weekend. They have just loaded us up. So you want to get this game, I think I can give it to you and win it for you. Just call 800-400-9741. The game is on me. Like I said, 37-19 the last 5 weeks in the college football and the NFL. Rare, very rare. Best bet, 45 unit in college on Saturday and in the NFL on Sunday. Locktober special, get both, just $247. Every single game I've got through October 31st. Use coupon code SAVE100, one place only, ParamountSports.com.
Lee, you're the best. Let's go get him this weekend. I'm going to ride your train.
All right, sounds good, Kevin.
Thanks, buddy. Take care. All right, there's Lee Sterling. ParamountSports.com is the website. Go get it, Locktober for $247. He's got a couple of big plays this week, 45 unit selections in college and one in the pros. Here's the recap of what Lee liked on the podcast today. He likes the Texas Longhorns to roll over Iowa State. Lay the points, take the Longhorns. Kansas to win outright, so definitely take the points, but consider the money line against Oklahoma. Oklahoma State to cover against TCU. The Chargers to roll the Broncos, who he says will not score, or not score very much anyway, in this game against the Chargers. And he likes Buffalo minus 2.5 over Kansas City, based on not just the play this year, but last year, the two games head-to-head, he thought Buffalo was the better team. So he likes the Buffalo Bills minus 2.5. Again, just call him at 800-400-9741. He is more than happy to give you the Philadelphia-Dallas game, and his website is ParamountSports.com. His appearance on KKHI is brought to you by Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Holiday season just around the corner. You're going to be shopping for your lady, guys. So why not consider Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. The Bluemont Hotel and Goolsby's in Manhattan, your business destination in the Manhattan Junction City Salina area. Perfect place to stay because they've got everything you like. Lots of restaurants, including Goolsby's right there, but also Aggieville, and campus is right next door. It's the perfect location and the best hotel in Manhattan, BluemontHotel.com. And Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC, online at robertsrobinson.com, your home of the lifetime warranty. Most dealers don't do it. Why wouldn't you get that at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC? Now with a $1,000 incentive on Chevy HD work trucks and 0% financing on GMC and Buick vehicles. Contact the dealership for details. Log on to robertsrobinson.com. All right, may they all be winners if you're playing these games. I hope you enjoy Lee Sterling, and I hope you have just a fantastic weekend. Don't forget, the weekend podcast with Spencer is coming up. He'll be doing a Chiefs-Bills preview. I feel certain of that. It is brought to you, the weekend edition of KKHI, by Earth Effects Outdoor Living and Cornerstone Property Management. Cornerstone Property Management. Let your rental work for you online at homewithcornerstone.com. And Earth Effects Outdoor, well, these guys are just terrific at what they do. They love doing hardscapes. You can see their great work at their website, eeoutdoor.com. We thank them for sponsoring the Weekend Edition with Spencer of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.